Good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Elaine B., and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Massachusetts, and today is Wednesday, June 5th, 2019. Today, we're reading from the Big Book in the chapter More About Alcoholism. We are on page 30, and we will be reading and commenting on the fourth paragraph, which begins, "We are like men who have lost their legs." Today's readers are Sarit L. for the 12 Steps, Pia S. for the 12 Traditions, Penny L. C., and Kathy Jo P. We also have Janice P. M. as our newcomer greeter and Reggio for some announcements. The end of the meeting. The reference for the 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time meeting for yesterday, Tuesday, June 4th, is 12989. That's 12,989. And the reference number for this morning's 7 a.m. meeting for Wednesday, June 5th, 7 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, is 12996. That's 12,996. The OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We're self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states that each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and the 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Sarit L. to please read the 12 steps. Star 1 to unmute, Sarit.
You said Sarit L., right?
Yeah, thank you.
Okay, the 12 steps. 1, we admitted we were powerless over alcohol, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. 4, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7, humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings. 8, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to alcoholics and to practice these principles in all our affairs. I pass.
Thank you so much, Sarit L. I will now ask Pia S. to please read the 12 traditions.
Yes, this is Kias, recovered in Florida. Thank you for your service, Elaine. This is the 12 traditions. 1, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group must never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues. Hence, the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. And I'll pass.
Thanks so much, Tia S. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature and then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we're discussing and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There's no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We're sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted using star 1. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book in the chapter More About Alcoholism, and we are on page 30, reading and commenting on the fourth paragraph, and I will ask Penny L.C. to please begin reading.
Good morning, Elaine. Thank you for your service, and good morning to everyone on the line. This is Penny L.C., a grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater from the state of Washington, and this is the Big Book. We are like men who have lost their legs. They never grow new ones. Neither does there appear to be any kind of treatment which will make alcoholics of our kind like other men. We have tried every imaginable remedy. In some instances, there has been brief recovery, followed always by a still worse relapse. Physicians who are familiar with alcoholism agree there's no such thing as making a normal drinker out of an alcoholic. Science may one day accomplish this, but it hasn't done so yet. It's interesting when it talks about men who have lost their legs and they never grow new ones. Science has created prosthetic legs, but that person is still never the same. But if I compared it also to someone who'd lost their eyesight, they do not gain their eyesight back by and large. And so, in other words, the condition is what the condition is. Even with a prosthetic leg, I'm not going to be as I was. Well, with my disease, I am not going to be as any other normal eater. And it doesn't matter what I try, because I've tried a lot. Whatever the diet, whatever the latest trick, scheme, plot I could think of to try to control and manage my eating was never enough, and it was never ever going to be enough. That's what I had to come to the realization of. No matter how hard I tried to control people, places, or things around me, my life was going to still be out of control so long as I was relying on the food. And oh boy, still worse relapse? Yes, especially when my disease is progressive. And mine did progress to the point where food was just my focus, 24/7. All I cared about. And that is not much different than, you know, having lost my life, because my life was not the quality of life that, you know, I wanted to live or anyone around me wanted to be experiencing. The food took me to such an ugly place of behaviors that were unacceptable. So what is the solution? It's none of those things I ever tried until I read about the solution in this book. And my recovery rests in finding a higher power and deciding to turn my will and my life over to that higher power. But first, I have to figure out that I am powerless. My life is unmanageable. There's no bit of control or diet or manipulation I can come up with that's ever going to put it in control. I will always be setting myself up for more misery and depression until I surrender to that higher power. Thank you, God, that I understand that today. And I don't need science to accomplish this for me. I have found the solution that works for me. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you very much, Penny L.C. Who would like to comment on that fourth paragraph on page 30 today?
Sarita.
Donna W.
Donna W.
Rod.
And Sheree L, I believe I heard.
Shlomi Khanna.
And
Bruce E.
Bernie W.
Okay, hold on just a sec. Let me just see what I've got here. I've got Sherry, I believe there was. Mr. Initial of your last name. Same with Donna. Russ G. Shlomi. I'm not saying your name right, but you can correct me. I'm so sorry.
Shlomi Khanna.
Khanna, that's it. Okay. Write it down fast enough. Thank you so much. Bruce E., Bernie W., and that first one is Sherry L. Thank you. So great. Okay, so Sherry L., Donna, I'll need the first initial of your last name. Roz G., Shlomi Khanna B., and Bruce E. and Bernie W., let's start with that, and then we'll keep on going, all right? Please go ahead, Sarita L.
Thank you, Elaine B., for your service. This is Sarita L., recovering compulsive overeater out here in Montreal. I love this paragraph, these paragraphs, because they speak to the step one, the admission of powerlessness. And I have a newborn baby, 2 months old as of yesterday, and when it says in the book that these, you know, we never grow new legs, I look at my baby, and when she's done eating, and that doesn't mean she's finished her bottle, it means when she feels full, she pulls away, and she's so young, and I am astounded that I cannot do what she can do. Only because my button's broken. And it's incredible to think that this two-month-old can do what a 30-year-old woman cannot do. And I'm just wired differently. I am wired differently. And as long as I fight that, I will not recover. It's just incredible. She's full. She pulls off. She's done eating. I can't do that. I have never finished a last cookie unless it was the last one in the bag. I have never finished a last of anything. And I was actually at a doctor yesterday, which is history repeats itself. When I go to these doctors for an issue that I had, I mean, I've been to therapists. They've told me to eat in moderation. I've done hypnosis. And this doctor, again, she mentioned, well, perhaps you can have this food or this and this, and you can eventually take it back in. And I looked at her and it just went out the other ear, because I'm in these rooms long enough to know that I have a twofold problem. And it's a mental problem and it's a physical allergy. And I cannot ever have these foods again if I want a recovered lifestyle, if I want to live like this. And the admission of powerlessness is just, it's a must. It's a must if we want to be able to continue with the rest of the steps. So the big book does spend a lot of time hitting home to us how bad our problem is. We will never, ever have new legs. And I like the example with the eyesight, because we can never grow new eyes. Legs, maybe we'll have fake ones, but the eyesight we can never ever get again. So with that all passed, happy to be here with you all today. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Sarit L. And Donna, you're up next. Would you please give us the first initial of your last name, and you'll be followed by Roz G.
Sure. This is Donna W. calling in from Denver, Colorado, but I live in Palo Alto, California. So grateful to be abstinent and in recovery today, and I just love learning from all of you. Thank you so much. And you know what this paragraph says to me? Well, first of all, this page 30, 31, like I have had times where I just read this every day, this, and I read it from an I, you know, I am unwilling and I cannot eat like others. This is just such a powerful section. And what this paragraph is saying to me is like, you know, countless times where I've been like, oh, I've lost the weight. Okay, I got it from here, God, you know. Or, oh, the food's been quiet. Okay, I'm good now. And it really is that self-reliance and that takes me down, because I think that I've achieved something or that I can handle it, and I can't. I need my higher power. I cannot handle this stuff on my own. And I've been traveling and had a super long day yesterday, like 4 a.m. to 10 p.m. And I was like, I don't know how I'm going to do this. And I just said, all I have to do is figure out how to be on God's beam today. Like, I love to figure things out. So that's my job, is to figure out how to stay on God's beam, and God figures out the rest. And I woke up this morning with my heart so full of just all the great connections, and what a great day I had yesterday, and not devastated and miserable and filled with self-pity. What a miracle. So, you know, that's all I have to figure out today, is how to stay on God's beam, because I'm powerless, and, you know, I was raised to be strong and independent and figure everything out. And so I'm grateful to be connected with my higher power today. And, you know, when things are going well, I get cocky. And I feel like I'm in charge. So just want to say today, I am not in charge. I'm no longer running the show. I'm powerless. And I do have a loving and reliable higher power who's looking out for me today. Thank you. And I pass.
Thank you so much, Donna W. Roz G., you are up next, and you'll be followed by Shlomit Hanna. Please go ahead, Roz.
Yay. Hi. Good morning. It's Roz G. I'm in my car driving to work, and I want to say, you know, I'm in my, 17th year in OA, and sometimes my mind, you know, thinks that I grew the new leg, and, you know, I have 6 months of abstinence now, and I'm so grateful for it, and now I've discovered a new food that it's not good for me, that I believe I'm allergic to. But before I say that, I'm glad that in my early days of recovery, I got to write the life story, you know. And I was not taken through the big book, but still, I got to, you know, write out all those diets that I was on. And, you know, the pills, like Metabolite, Metabolist, Zenadrin, all, you know, probably about two or three more generic brands, you know, walking through, going to the health store and getting colon cleanses, which is just another bougie word for laxative, and being so dehydrated from so much diarrhea and sweats and all that stuff. And then the last one was the Jenny Craig, and that has sugar in just about every ingredient. And this was all through OA. Well, except for the pills. You know, I still was dieting with the group support in OA. And when I came here to study the big book with Primary Purpose Group and with you guys, I started to learn what the problem was, and that it starts in my mind. And, you know, I don't have aluminum leg. The aluminum leg replacement. You know, I don't have that. I don't get it. I don't get that. So today I don't, if I go back to eating corn chips and high salty foods, then I'm back into the problem. And I have to get plugged into God every day and every night and throughout the day. There's just no negotiation. Because when I start to negotiate, then my mind will go back to negotiating with the food, and then I'll be right back in relapse, and my bloatedness, and clothes getting too tight, and treating people like crap, it all goes back. I don't want to go back there. And I just need to be reminded one day at a time. I can't do it any other way. So thank you for letting me share, everybody, and have a great day. Gonna pass. Thank you.
Thanks so much, Roz G. Shlomit Hanabi, you're up next, followed by Bruce E.
Thank you so much. Thank you to the moderator and to the timekeeper and every single person on this phone. Cannot do this without you. I always kind of wondered about that line. We're like men who have lost their legs, they never grow back. I never quite got it, to tell you the truth. I never quite understood exactly what it meant until this morning. And I think that for me, what that means is that it's permanent. When somebody, God forbid, loses their legs, they're not going to grow back, ever. You can get a prosthetic, but the real leg is never, ever going to grow back. And you know what? That is exactly my story as a food addict and a compulsive overeater, that this is a permanent situation. No matter how much I want to be normal or think that I can handle one bite of a chip or whatever, I will never, ever be a normal eater. I will never be able to take one little chip. I remember when I was in the throes of my relapse very recently. Thank you, God. I'm on day four or day five, I can't remember. I was thinking to myself, you know, I don't even want to just eat everything. You know, why can't I just have like one piece of cake? You know, like I'm not even asking to eat the whole cake. Just like, why couldn't I just have one and stop there? How nice that would be. And you know what? God didn't make me that way. I can't stop at one. If I have one, then I'll eat the whole thing, and then I'll keep on eating and eating and eating and eating. As I very visibly learned in the last couple months, I won't stop, and I can't, and this is permanent. And the only solution for me is to work this program. That's it, to stay close to God, to stay close to the fellowship, and to work this program like my life depends on it, because it really does. It does. If I don't, then I'm going to go right back to the food and I'm going to die. And I don't want to die. I really want to live. I have a lot to live for. And that's really what I want to be doing today, is living. And this program gives me a new lease on life. But in order to have that life, in order to live, I must know that this is a permanent situation. This will not change. I will never grow those legs back. I will always, always be a compulsive overeater until the day I leave this planet. So with that, I will pass. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Sumit Hanna. Bruce E., you're up next, and you'll be followed by Bernie W.
Thank you. This is Bruce E. I'm in North Carolina. I'm recovered now. And, grateful today. And like this reading, lost their legs. That, to me, I was thinking about that. And I wonder if that doesn't mean to me that I'll never get back to where I was in the very beginning, a normal eater many years ago. when I could, you know, just eat it and enjoy it and didn't do too much overeating. So I'm just not going to grow those new legs. I've never run into anyone that did so far grow a new leg. Neither does there appear to be any kind of treatment which will make alcoholics of our kind like other men. I saw over 20 years ago, and I was in this program, and I saw something in the newspaper that said they've come up with something, a chemical of some kind, because the mind, they're in the brain, it's short, it's lacking a particular chemical, and that's why people overeat, and they're going to supply this chemical in a pill, and then you can take that, and then you won't have to overeat anymore. And I thought, yeah, well, that might work. I was new in the program. I thought, yeah, that might work. But looking back at that, if they had that chemical or that pill available today, I'd take that. I'd still overeat if I wasn't in the program, you know. So that wouldn't help. We have tried everything imaginable, every imaginable remedy. In some instances, there's been brief recovery, followed always by a still worse relapse. And I had, you know, being in the program over 25 years, and I had my worst relapse, I think one of the worst relapses I've ever had, 2 years ago, a year before I got into Vision. And I threw a binge like I couldn't believe. I mean, it went on for a couple of days, and then after that, for the next year, I couldn't put 2 weeks together. You know, so it always... I can absolutely agree with this. Brief recovery. And previous to that relapse, I had about 6 months of good quality recovery. You know, still wasn't envisioned, still wasn't recovered, but I had some good recovery, and then I had my worst relapse. And that's exactly what it says here, followed always by still a worse relapse. And that's what's baffling about it when I'm really in the addiction is, how did that happen? How did I was doing so well, and bang, I had my worst relapse ever, you know. So, man, I'm very grateful for this call. I'm grateful for this program. I'm grateful for a sponsor. I'm grateful for this book. I'm grateful for recovery. And with that, I pass.
Thank you so much, Bruce D. After Bernie W., we're going to be opening up for some more shares, and we're commenting on the fourth paragraph on page 30 of the chapter, More About Alcoholism. And that's the fourth paragraph starting with, "We are like men who have lost their legs." So, Bernie W., please go ahead.
Hi, I'm calling from PA. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater, and I'm very thankful for this program, for the moderators, for the fellows who share. And this sentence, that we are all like men who have lost their legs, really hit me today, because I feel like I had to get to a place, I had to get there to a place where I was lost my legs, to be desperate, to realize that I couldn't do it, that I had no control, that I had to submit my will totally. I've lost and gained so much in the past, and I'd lose it because I had a very strong will, and I could follow a plan, and I could stick to that plan until I got to where I wanted to be, and then I would take that bite, and I would still, like say, be strict during the week and watch everything I ate, and then eat what I wanted on weekends, and then I was totally out of control, lost. And I'd cry out to God and say, God, stop me, stop me. I was waiting for like a strike of lightning to hit me and stop me. And I wouldn't eat anymore. And it just doesn't work that way. You know, there's no half measures. I had to submit completely to God, put down the food 100%. And I'm so grateful to do that. I'm so grateful that I found Vision, that I could listen to people with so much wisdom that were in the program, and to really just know that if I think I'm God and I can control my life, I'm going to be lost And I could be lost for months, or I could be lost for years, or I could be lost for the rest of my life, because I have to admit I'm powerless. I have no control. And it took me a long time to get to this place. And I'm very grateful that I am here, powerless, and able to listen to others and get support from them and to turn to God daily, sometimes hourly, because if I don't, I'll be lost again. And thank you, and I pass.
Thanks so much, Bernie W. Who else would like to comment on the fourth paragraph on page 30?
Linda B.
Yes.
Lancel.
Yes, in Florida.
Rachel P.
I heard
Laura H.
Tia, Rachel. Tia.
Lindsay B.
Lindsay B. And one more.
Kara L.
O-H.
Kara L.
Judy L.
O-H, if we have time for you. I'm so sorry, we couldn't catch all those names. Everybody came in at once at first. So Wedeher was Lance L., Pia S., Rachel P., Lindsay B., I think it is, Kara L., and if we have time for O-H, we'll have time for O-H. So let's start out with Lance L., followed by Pia S.
Hi, my name is Lazdell, and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from California. More about alcoholism. You know, I like to call it more about the thinking that precedes the first bite. And it's interesting that we got a whole chapter on this part because, you know, the main problem of alcoholism is centers in the mind. And, you know, for me, each time that I have had brief recovery, I've really been restricting myself. I always dive into the deep end with just ravenous eating, like anything and everything. And you know, it gets worse when I get into recovery for whatever reason. I don't know. Maybe I'm more aware of it. I'm not exactly sure what that's all about. I can always remember coming up on Thanksgiving, and I wouldn't eat anything through the morning, afternoon, until we got to that Thanksgiving dinner. You know, it's almost like I had this idea that if I was more empty, then I could eat more of the things that I enjoy. And I don't think the body works that way. I really don't. I'm coming to realize that the body is a system. And, you know, we can't think for it. There's parts of our body that just work without us thinking, you know, and part of this alcoholism is the thinking problem. The worst relapse. I thought before I got on this line, okay, So I have this alcoholism that walks with me in everything that I do. It comes with me to work. I wake up with it. I go to bed with it. The thinking issue that I have with alcoholism is always with me. And it was with me when I started this meeting this morning. And I thought I tried every imaginable remedy, but someone said hypnosis. And I was like, gosh, I hadn't tried that. That might be easier than working these steps. That was my thought. I've had all this benefit of recovery, and I'm free of the food, and somebody comes up with a new solution that I haven't tried yet, and my thinking goes right to, well, let me drop this and pick up that. And that's what I'm dealing with on a daily basis, sometimes an hourly basis and a minute-by-minute basis. So I have to be really on top of this because the main problem centers in the mind. And that's why I work the 12 steps. And that's why there's an entire chapter written on this, and there's not an entire chapter written on how to become abstinent. Okay.
Just a gentle reminder, Lance. Sorry to interrupt you.
Oh, thank you. And, you know, I'll stick with you guys, and I won't try hypnosis. Take care. I'll talk to you soon.
That's great, Lance. Thank you. Pia S., you're up next, followed by Rachel P.
Hi, Lynn. PS retired in Florida. Thank you for your service. You know, by now I know that I can never go back to be a normal eater. I know I can't stop when I first start. When I start, I stop when it's empty, but not before. And I came to think that I actually have an allergy against penicillin. So if I take penicillin, I will break out in a rash. And it doesn't really matter how long ago it was since I took it, like if it's been years since I took penicillin, if I start taking penicillin now, I will still react to it. And I did try because I know it's very effective. So when I have had like an ear infection, I'm like, oh, let's just take penicillin because I know it works. But for me, I get sick if I take it. So it's not that I am, now I'm like, I'm not obsessing over it. I know that there are other ways to cure my problems. Like I don't need to take penicillin, but I was thinking about, like, I'm very visual, and I remember when I first heard about OA and joined Vision about 6 years ago, I got the sense of, like, there's no way back, you know, there's no return. I saw that, you know, these steps, this is it. This is going to be the solution. This is my last resort. And I felt like there was these gates of hell that was, you know, closing behind me, but I was outside of hell. I was not in hell. But I was at the bottom of like this staircase with steps. And I was told that this staircase was going to lead me to freedom. But, you know, I saw those steps and I was like, oh man, this is a tall order. And I thought, definitely, am I going to be able to go through with it? Like, is this going to be possible? But I started taking the steps. And I got a sponsor, I got a step guide that was helping me, and I knew that, you know, and I was struggling, but you were there to hold me. Like, if I stretch my arms out and made the effort to connect, I would get so much help up those stairs. And today, after I have walked all the steps all the way up, I feel like I have a new freedom. You know, life happens. I make mistakes. I fall down sometimes that staircase, but I just keep going. Like, I keep working the steps, and I know that this is it. This is, you know, I can never go back. I can also hear about new ways to deal with this problem, you know, with the food and everything. But I know that. This is it. My steps are it. Yeah. So thanks for letting me share. Okay.
Oh, thank you, T.S. Rachel P., you're up next, followed by Lindsay B.
Good morning, my fellows. This is Rachel P., recovered compulsive overeater in Denver, Colorado. This paragraph is so resonating with me, especially the part about how, you know, we had tried every imaginable remedy, and that was absolutely the case for me. For so many years, I tried everything that I could possibly concoct, that my diseased brain could concoct, whether that be the next diet, whether that be restriction, exercise, what have you, and I did. I saw some success. I was able to lose some weight. I went from 275 pounds down to just over 200 in the first couple of years of college. And then in the last couple of years of college, I gained back 50 of those pounds and was absolutely demoralized and almost back to my heaviest weight. And I now know that that was my diseased brain thinking that I had it under control, that I could figure this out, that I could find the next right thing that was going to fix me. And if I just restricted enough, if I just overexercised enough, I would get to that goal weight. And then if I got to that goal weight, it would all be over. Like, the race would be won. And this metaphor about men or women who have lost their legs, I love this. You know, I don't know whether I was born without legs or whether the shame and demoralization and all that guilt that I carried about this disease that I was born with maybe caused me to lose my legs, but I'm thinking that this program of the 12 steps, this book, gives me the prosthetics I need, right? And every morning I put them on, and I'm able to function in this world now in recovery. But I have these prosthetics, and I have to adjust in ways that other people do not. You know, I'm not a normie. I don't wake up. I can't just get up and roll out of bed and be fine. I have to get up. I have to say steps 1 through 3. I have to connect with my higher power. I have to give it up to my higher power every single day. I have to commit to my food plan. I have to work these steps on a daily basis so that I can function in this world and be recovered. And by the grace of God, I was in Europe for 2 weeks, mid through late May, and I was recovered. 13 months, no binging, 13 months abstinent, and that is a miracle. Thanks to this program. So I'm so grateful for this program and that I can wake up and put on those prosthetics I'll never live a normal life as it relates to food ever again, but I have tools so that I can live in this world and to be happy and be recovered. So that I pass. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Rachel P. Lindsay B, you're up next, followed by Carol. Followed by Kara L. Please go ahead, Lindsay.
Yes, hello, this is Lindsay B., compulsive overeater in New Hampshire. And I appreciate all the shares today. And, you know, as a person that have been in the rooms many, many years, experienced some recovery, but been in relapse more than I think I've been in recovery, I love this story, but I've kind of been looking at it in a new way today, and that's what happens when I start to listen to more people. You know, I start to then see how can this work for me? Like, what can this paragraph do for me? And what I think about is that I am so defiant. I feel like I am like somebody that maybe has lost their leg, and they're like, my life will never be the same again. And that's what I felt like when someone said to me, so I can never eat these foods again. I mean, I felt like, you know, I really had lost a part of myself. But then they come along with a solution. And, you know, if you work the steps and you do this and you do that every day, you have to do it every day. You're not going to suddenly, you know, grow a new leg. Then you can get well and you can do all the things you want to do in your life. You can still dance, you can still do this, you can still do that. And for me, I feel like it's like I've been given this, like let's say that I lost my leg. It's like saying, okay, so we have these prosthetics for you. And with this, you can still do the things you love. Like for me, if I weren't able to dance, I don't know what I would do. I want to, you know, be in a normal size body and I want to do all these things. But it's like, yeah, but I don't like your prosthetic leg because it's too much work or because this or because that. And I'm going to come up with another way to be able to dance. And so I'm able to maybe hobble through for a few days. But then, of course, this prosthetic leg that I've designed, Lindsay, because I'm so smart and clever, you know, I fall down again and again and again and again. And here I am being given this program that clearly works. I've had experience of it working. And yet I'm still trying to design my own, you know, leg. I'm still trying to come up with a way, despite everything that I learn. So, and everything that I hear. So this chapter is for me. You know, it is about the thinking that precedes the first bite. And unless I can admit that I am unable to design a program that is going to help me to live fully again, because right now my life is getting smaller and smaller and smaller again. And, you know, it's just beginning to show on the outside, though probably not to other people, but to me it's really, really huge. It's pretty clear to everybody that my leg is... you know, that I have a missing leg. But as soon as I get to the point where no one can tell I have a missing leg anymore, then I go back to old behaviors. It's almost like I'm waiting for the whole world to acknowledge that this is a real thing. Despite the fact that there's a list of, you know, almost, you know, I don't know, 4,000 plus people that have this disease. Anyway, with that, I pass. I hope I made some sense. Bye-bye.
Yes, you did, Lindsay. Thanks so much. Kara L., you're up next, and Mo H. looks like we'll have 2 minutes for you to share after Kara. Please go ahead.
Good morning. My name is Kara L., recovered compulsive overeater in Long Beach, California. And I am so happy to be on the meeting today. I've been traveling a lot, and it's just good to have everybody's voices. I've been listening to the recorded meetings, but there's something special about being live with you all in community and fellowship. Thank you for all being here, and thank you to everybody that does service on this meeting. You know, I'm leaving again today. I'm back to the East Coast, and I just spent 2 days at a meditation retreat that was amazing, and yet it helped me enlarge my spiritual life, and I find this morning that I am filled with joy just hearing the voices on our meeting, connecting back in with a big book, being amongst my fellows, sharing a common disease and a common solution. It fills my heart today. And I know today when I get off this line that I'll be making outreach calls because I need to work with others and I need to hear others' voices. I know today that when I travel that I'm so thankful that there's two meetings a day. So no matter what time zone I'm in, I can usually pick up a meeting, you know, besides a face-to-face meeting. I know today that when I pack my bags, that my big book will be in my bags so that every morning when I wake and I connect with my higher power, I can read the words of the big book. Those things today are my solution. And those are my legs. I can't do it. And I need to enlarge my spiritual life and work with others and stay in the steps so that when I go places, I don't care what the food is because I know what I eat and I don't eat, and it's okay. And I also know today that if one of my meals is smaller because there's not much there I can eat, I won't die. It's shocking. I won't die. You know, there is a next meal, and it will be okay. And I can be amongst today. I'm going to be with family. I can enjoy them. I can enjoy them without worrying about what's on the table. And that's a beautiful miracle. And I'm so grateful today for this program. I'm so grateful today that I know I have to practice talking to my higher power all day long about mundane things. What do you think I should wear? Should I eat this? No, not now. Okay. But what about this? Oh, which way should I turn when I'm walking today? I have to practice because it doesn't come naturally to me to immediately seek out my higher power's opinion. And I know my higher power is just waiting for me to ask. My higher power is like, yeah, got lots of opinions for you. Let me ask you. Let me tell you. Ask me, please. You know, and today I'm willing to do that, you know, because I know my own brain does not have the best answers. Thank you all for being here today and being part of my recovery. And with that, I'll pass.
Thanks so much, Kara L. And Mo H., you're up next, and looks like we do have 3 minutes for you. So please go ahead.
Oh, great. Okay. Thank you, Elaine. Thanks for your service. Thanks, everyone on the line. Thanks for all the shares. And, gosh, that's my miracle for today, to get on the line, to be heard. I was so excited to share yesterday and today, but God is in charge, not I. All right, we like men and women who have lost their legs. Well, I was just thinking, while I was listening to everybody, I've lost my legs, but I grew wings. I am flying. I feel like I'm soaring today. You know, and I'm like another member who said, you know, they didn't understand that. I didn't understand it for years and years and years, and now I get it. Yeah, but I have wings, and my wings are connected to my higher power on a daily basis, a minutely basis sometimes. And then it says there doesn't appear to be any kind of treatment which will make alcoholics of our kind. Our kind is the real compulsive overeater. That's me. I'm not the moderate. I'm not the hard. I was, but I'm not anymore. I'm the real, and I've tried it. I have tested the waters many, many, many times, and my last debacle, I lost my legs on my last debacle because the disease progresses as my recovery progresses. So I need to really work my program every day, stay connected like the last share said. And yes, I'm going away today too for 4 days to be with family, and it's going to be a little bit of a stressful trip, but I am bringing my big book, and I'm going to be listening to you, and I'm going to stay in the solution, and I'm not going to allow myself to get in the problem. If the problem comes up, I am going to do my 10th step around it and just keep working my program, because otherwise I could pick up. This is the area where I picked up 3 years ago, the my daughter's house, and I'm not going to, not this time. So there's no making the normal person out of me. And doctors, you know, I don't know if there are any doctors out there who, you know, really promote OA. I just am sad about the medical profession, that they aren't really getting our disease the way they should. So I think with that, I'll pass. Thank you, Elaine, for your service, and I'm going to pass.
Thanks so much, Mo H. Great timing, and thank you to everybody who has shared. We're going to transition the meeting by reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Will Kathy Jo P. please read a vision for you?
This is Kathy Jo P., a recovered compulsive overeater in Minneapolis, Minnesota. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit. And you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you.